Let's look at, let's start off. We're going to look at the thought of thinking once again. I know we've looked at this before, not maybe this, but the concept. But really, everything that we engage in life and all that, it really does start in our mind. Amen. And we see this here in Proverbs 23. I want to call attention to this verse, and then we're going to look at exactly why this verse is here. I've quoted it a bunch, but we've never really looked at really, in a sense, what precedes it. So I do want to look at that and just kind of deal with the thought of thinking. Amen. All of us do some thinking. Amen. If you're not thinking, then you're dead, I guess. But we all, or at least brain dead. Amen. And I don't know. Y'all look like you know, you're active in that compartment. Amen. So that's good. Amen. But in Proverbs, if you're not, then let me know later. And then if you do, then I'll know you really were thinking. Anyway, Proverbs 23 and in verse number 7, it says, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee." So we're going to look a little bit on why that second part of that is there. And truly that reference there, as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. And that word thinketh there means to estimate. It means to ponder to the place of almost scheming. It's thinking, in a sense, what you want to do. It's kind of developing that plan for yourself. Do you know that everybody in here has a thought of what they want to become, where they want to end up? Some might be in here today thinking, how can I get out of this? Amen. But every person in here thinks in this way. And God has a lot to say about that. And it will determine a lot about you. It'll determine a lot about where you're headed, if you will. So let's pray, then we'll jump into this. God, thank you, Lord, for tonight. Thank you for this time together in your word. I pray, God, that you would truly speak to our hearts tonight. Might the Holy Spirit of God have free course to visit each of us, God, and lead us in the scriptures tonight. And Lord, you know exactly what we're thinking. It's just amazing, God, as you walk the earth, you would actually answer questions for people before they actually verbalize them. They just thought them. And Lord, you were so good about answering those things before any utterance came forth. And we know, God, that we will not just give an account for what we say, but even what we think. And we need to be responsible for our thoughts. And because there's a lot that transpires in our hearts and minds that doesn't need to, because we let things reside there when we really shouldn't. And there's other things that we should have reside there that we don't. And because of that, it affects us. And we know that the enemy uses the playground of our mind, and at times really does cause us to be in much turmoil over it. So help us, I pray, tonight to learn a few things. I pray that it would be a blessing to all of us as we tune in tonight and pay attention to this topic that I'm sure touches all of our lives and that we all probably have an interest level in. So help us tonight, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. So if you look there at Proverbs 23, and let's just go back up into that first verse, and we'll just read down the six verses that precede the verse here in verse 7 where it says, "As he thinketh in his heart, so is he." And I want you to pay attention to, in a sense, the general thought of what's going on here. So it says in Proverbs 23, verse number 1, it says, "When thou sittest to eat with a ruler, consider diligently what is before thee, and put a knife to thy throat if thou be a man given to appetite. Be not desirous of his dainties, for they are deceitful meat. Labor not to be rich. Cease from thine own wisdom. Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle towards heaven. Eat thou not the bread of him that hath an evil eye, neither desire thou his dainty meats." Now let's read verse 7. "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." Then it ties it together on this second part. "Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee." And so in this text, really what it's talking about is we see the ruler here. We see those that would be, in a sense, wealthy and that may, in a sense, take advantage of others, maybe even set you up or take advantage of you, but have a plan for you in this context. And so it says, when you sittest to eat with a ruler or somebody that has responsibility or is over some things, maybe a business owner, maybe someone in politics, could even be a religious leader or really anybody in this the ruler. By the way, when you begin to study the topic of authority, you'll find in every realm of authority there are rulers in each of those. And by the way, that's why when we look at Romans 13 and we see the word ruler there and all that, we don't just ascribe that to government. There are rulers in every sphere of authority, in the family, in the government, and also in the church. Even the church, they're actually called. So a ruler is just one that follows the rules of the ruler, amen? And the ultimate ruler is God. The authority, God, is the ruler that sets the rule. And then we, as rulers under the main ruler, just utilize his ruler to measure things by. Does that make sense? And that's how it's supposed to work. And so that's all a ruler is. A ruler is the one that's supposed to be using the Lord's ruler. Now, that doesn't always happen, and they develop their own ruler. Amen? And to be able to judge by. But in a sense, that's how that word ruler actually works. And so a ruler here, it says, consider what is before thee when you sit to eat with him. And so a ruler is someone that you would find yourself, in a sense, maybe subordinate to, maybe under, maybe just one who would benefit from his position, or he benefit from thine. But it says, just consider diligently what is before thee and put a knife to thy throat if thou be a man given to appetite. Because rulers or people in position are really good at picking up what you desire. Amen? And what you desire will be exploited and used against you. What others know you desire can and will be used against you, amen, in life. Right? And so I was actually talking to someone in my own family not that long ago, and we were talking about different things, people taking advantage and all that. And he actually said to me, he goes, you know, I think for the most part, for most people today still have a good heart. I laughed. I was like, are you serious? You really believe that? Because that ain't true. Amen. That is not true. Most people do not have your best interest in mind. Right. Amen? And so just kind of keep that in mind. And so just consider, and if you're given to appetite, this pastor said it'd be better to slice your throat. Amen? Put a knife to your throat. Then to open yourself up to what he will do to you. Be not desirous of his dainties, for they are deceitful meats. And there's a lot of companies, there's a lot of multi-level marketing things, all that, and they do a lot of parading, you know, homes before you, cars before you, something else, vacations, trips, and all that that you would desire. And they use that to manipulate you, to make them wealthy, while you as a pauper sit down and just feed them. So that all the while just leading you along because you're going to get something out of it. But the reality is that all you are is a minion for them. And so they'll use that against you. And this happens in relationship realms. This happens in families. This is how a lot of families operate, manipulations that take place like this. But especially in the business world, especially in government and those sort of things. And so it says, labor not to be rich. Cease from thine own wisdom. Listen, if riches come your way, that's fine, but we want to be very careful that that's not the purpose in life for which we set out to accomplish, because once you get there, you're going to be greatly disappointed, amen, with what you find. As a matter of fact, I was talking to a gentleman today on the phone, and he was talking about what some of his employees make and all that, and then they live like they're broke, but they're making, I mean, I'm sure different ones here in different occupations, you work with people that make a lot of money, but yet they're broke. They're always broke, amen? And the people spend what they make for the most part, amen? And so it really doesn't matter at the height of what level that you find yourself in. Most people still have a house, still have a car, have food, amen, and some clothes on their back. And so we're all pretty even on that sense. Whether one might be a little nicer or worse than the other, there's a lot of commonality, amen. So be careful that you're not setting your eyes on something that at the end of the day has no real value, amen, that has no real meaning beyond maybe just a status, a symbol or something. He says, wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? And he shows the uncertainty. It says, for riches certainly make themselves wings, and they fly away as an eagle toward heaven. And we're seeing in the United States of America a lot of big numbers. But those big numbers ain't purchasing what they used to purchase, right? And there's a lot of uneasiness on that whole thing. And in a fiat system that we find ourselves in, it's really just a house of cards, amen. At some point, it will come crashing down, and all of us will be affected. So just be careful what you're setting your eyes on and what you're looking for and all those different goals, amen. It says in verse number 6, eat thou not the bread of him that hath an evil eye, neither desire thou his dainty meats. All right, then we see it goes into, for as he thinketh in his heart, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. And so how you think about life and how you think about the direction you're headed and how you think and value what's important to you, like in this context, you know, is it money that is the most important thing? Is it career that's the most important thing? Is it something or person outside of heaven that's the most important thing? Because if you're a young lady and you're setting your heights totally on this knight in shining armor that's going to come, you know, riding into your life and he's going to be Mr. Wonderful. I mean, just tell you, there is no guy on earth that is Mr. Wonderful. We're all just lacking. You ladies can testify that no men, well, amen, married to one, whatever. There is not a perfect man on earth. And guys, sorry, ladies, there's not a perfect gal on earth. And everybody puts forth their best foot on the front side, and then you find out afterwards what you bought, amen? And you're disappointed. That's why in the Old Testament it says that the man is supposed to spend one full year cheering up his wife after they get married. That's in there. That's what it says. Amen? 1 year it takes to cheer that woman up when she figures out what she got. Amen. A year. And it doesn't even give a time frame for the guys because it, never mind. And so what the point is that we want to be very careful that we don't deceive ourselves, because we end up setting up this scheme in our mind when we're young that as I get older, I'm going to do this and then that, and it's going to be so wonderful. Any adult here that their plan from their teenage years has worked out just like they thought it would and better? Anybody like that? Young people, look around. Look around. I guarantee you will be disappointed in life with what you think it's going to be for you. Because we live in the midst of a sin-cursed world, and you and I are not immune to that. And the only way you will ever be fully satisfied is if your heart is set on the unchangeable one. Is if your heart is set on the one who loves perfectly and is perfect and always has right counsel and your best interest in mind, and on and on and on and on. And that's Jesus Christ. That is the only way you will ever be satisfied in this life. Sorry. I don't want to just be a downer today, amen. But let's think realistically. Because most people don't think realistically. And they, listen, people will go out here, people will go out and they will take their hard-earned money and go buy a bunch of lottery tickets, and they can't wait for the day they strike it rich. Right? What is the difference between that and some other dreams that some people have? I'm just saying, how you think about these things matters. And it will determine who is able to take advantage of you and who is not. Because I guarantee you, as you get out of your parents' home and as we who are adults are out and about in this world, who we come in contact with, they may not think about it this way, but ultimately here's what they are acting towards and what they're looking at, how they can get something from you. That is how, I'm sorry, but that is how the world works. When you apply for a job, I'm sorry, but that employer, they may say they care about you. And in some way they may. But their ultimate goal is to run a business. And all they will really want from you is productivity. They don't care about your health. They don't care about your family problems. They don't care about, they may say they do, and they may actually a little bit. But ultimately, that business doesn't exist to support you. You are there to support the operations of that business. And if that business goes away, then so does your job. Do you see what I'm saying? By the way, the healthcare system doesn't necessarily exist to make you healthy. It exists to turn a profit. Every one of these healthcare organizations, they are a huge, huge corporation. And these corporations have boards. And these boards are full of rich people. And all these rich people want is for that hospital to turn a profit. You say, that shouldn't be that way. I'm not here to debate what should be and what shouldn't be. I'm just telling you what it's like. And they have their market share in the market. And stockholders and everyone, they just want that place to turn a profit. And you go there thinking they have your best interest in mind. And there may be some employees that really do care about you, but they are stifled by a system that they are under as they are employed. I'm telling you, every area of life, you go to buy a car, that them people don't care that they put you in a car that's going to work well. They just want the sale. And there may be some in the used car market or new car market that actually think that their product is better than another. And I'm glad they do. But ultimately, they just are looking for a sale. All they really care about at the end of the week is they go home with a paycheck. I can go on. And I could cover and touch every sphere of our society. And I want to tell you at the end of the day that their devotion is not toward you or I. And you just need to know this going in. The university systems in our day and age, they are not there to teach you what you think your degree is about. I'm sorry. I've said a long time ago, it would take a lot for me to be convinced that one of our kids needs to go to a university. I'm sorry. And I know there are some Christian ones, and I know there's the over there in agreement. I get it. And that's better than most. But especially when you're looking at the secular universities, especially, they have walked down this line of, I don't even know what's happened. But there is this liberal mindset this that's out there today that is killing our country. And a lot of it's because these young minds go in there thinking, listen, I'm going into a place of higher learning. These people are smart. They must know what they're talking about. They got all these letters after their names, and everybody calls them doctors and all these different things. Man, they must be smart. And I go in there in the classes, and they make me sound like I'm an idiot if I believe in the Bible or creation or anything else. And they tell me what science is, but what they tell you science is isn't science at all. And they feed this line to you, and before you know it, you're bought into this entitlement society, and it's killing our country. Right. Amen? All I'm saying is look deep into these things, because as you think about these things, so are you. As you consider these things, that's who you will become. That's what this is saying. And if you will let people take advantage of you, they will. They will. Because all they want is something from you. That's it. Very few people in our day that'll love you no matter what takes place in your life, whether you're valuable to them or not. Very few people. Amen. I'm thankful Jesus is that way. Amen. He didn't call the righteous but sinners to repentance. And the religious leaders and the political class and all of that in that day were dumbfounded by Jesus, who was willing to even sit and have a conversation with and eat and drink with publicans and sinners. And they were like, what in the world are you doing? But he says, I'm just here to help. Amen. And he meant it. And that's a blessing. Amen. So anyway, that's the background for this text in this scripture. Amen. Look over at Philippians 4. So as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. And that's referring to not just thinking as in pondering, but thinking as in the direction you're headed. Amen. Before you head down a direction in life, I guarantee you this, you have thought about it. You've thought about it, and you've thought, what would be best for me? You may have even thought in a little bit, where would I like to short-term end up? Most people don't think long-term end up, but at least short-term, where would I like to find myself? And most people jump into things just really based on that. I'm headed down a direction. Like a lot of people that do go to universities and all that, they might go for a degree. And do you know that a lot of people that get degrees never ever work in the industry that their degree that they got is for? Right. There's a study, I'm not sure what the actual numbers are, but it's quite humorous. I mean, I'll be honest with you. 12 years, 13 years with kindergarten, amen. That was enough schooling for me, amen. Now, I still went to some schooling, amen. But after that, but the reality is that a lot of these people will go into a four-year education for a general degree or some other thing, and they'll never, ever work in that field. Never, amen. And so, again, short-term thought, hey, I'll go this route, and this is what it will be when I get out. The problem is that once you get there, sometimes it's a little more difficult to make that happen than you once thought. And as soon as people find some difficulty, typically people have an aversion to difficulty, right? And so, hey, it'd be easier to go flip burgers or waitress here or do whatever. And that's where a lot of these people end up. And now they're in debt. Now they're in debt $60,000, $70,000, $100,000, $200,000, $400,000, some colleges, after a four-year degree. They're in debt pushing $500,000. And they're stuck in some job that they'll never pay that off. And not even if President Biden gives them an extra 10 grand to help them out, amen. Because the amount is so high, that is nothing, you see. Amen. Philippians chapter 4, verse number 1. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown. It sounds like Paul really does care about these believers in Philippi. Amen. Therefore, my dearly beloved, my brethren, dearly beloved, long for my joy and crown. So stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Standing fast. And that's what I'd like for each of us here tonight to be able to do in this world is to stand fast, to find out what is solid and stand upon it, because there are going to be so many winds and waves and just currents that fight against you from standing strong that unless you're standing strong or standing fast, you will not make it. So in order to stand fast in the Lord, our hearts and minds must be properly in tune with God. Standing fast in the Lord is a challenge for every Christian. Standing fast means to be stationary. Now, I mentioned already that God is the one that changeth not. And the Bible, it warns us, meddle not with them that are given to change. Amen. So getting some constancy, some consistency to our lives so that people know who you are every time they see you. And you're not, like for me, that I'm the same person in the pulpit as I am out of the pulpit. Or if you see me on the street somewhere or wherever, you're not wondering who's this guy today, amen? I hope that's not how I come across, because I don't believe that is. This is just who I am, amen? And that's how we all need to be, is just who we are. Okay, content with who we are in Jesus Christ, and not trying to prove anything to anybody, amen, and not trying to pull one over on anybody, just trying to be a help to whoever we can, just like Christ would have us to be. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant, amen. That's who we should desire to be like. Now keep your place here in Philippians 4, and I'm going to read a passage in Proverbs 19 if you want to jump over there, and just dealing with the thought of standing fast, being stationary, being careful about all these things around us that are really battling to get us just to go down a direction with them, just to head down a path with them. Be very careful. Proverbs 19, verse number 20. Hear counsel and receive instruction, that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end. There are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. Now, this word devices here has to do with contrivings. There are many devices in our hearts. It's what we dream up, in a sense. Right? That's what this is talking about. And it says there are many devices in a man's heart. There's a lot of thoughts in our heart about this and that. We want this. We want to go here. I'd love to do this and all that. And by the way, I am one of those. I see things all the time. Like I'd say, well, that would be neat to do, or this would work and all that, but there's just not enough of me to go around, amen, so that's not going to happen. But the point is that we're always, I would think most of us are kind of thinking that way, at least to a point, or at least have a handful of contrivances in our hearts. But note this, it says in reference to that, hear counsel. And you better be careful to have a good set of wise counselors around you. Amen. I know that maybe you think you and God is enough. It's not, because we are totally deceivable. The Bible, God, in the Word of God gave instruction for this, but God thought this up for a reason. A local church is here for a reason. Amen. And it's to put us in the midst of other born-again believers who are co-laboring together for the cause of Christ, amen? And that co-laboring develops relationships. Our main relationship is that of our connection through Christ, and then our desire to be used by God to get the gospel out. That is our main connection. Now, we may have some other likes and dislikes. Some of you all here like hunting. I like hunting. Praise the Lord for that. Amen. I like anything outdoors, honestly. I don't even know where all that came from. That wasn't my dad. Amen. But I like the outdoor stuff. I do. But that can't be a main connection. It can't. Amen. I like to cook. I like to do things like that. And there's a lot here that do as well, do a whole lot better job than I do. But praise the Lord, that can't be our main connection. Amen. And we can go on and on and on and on and on, whether it's a sport. I like to almost do anything, amen. I like to golf and all that, but that can't be a main connection, amen. Or anything else that you like to do. That cannot be your main connection with people. Your main connection with your counselors needs to be a common desire in Christ, amen. Because it's only in Christ that all these other worldly things are put away. Because the reality is that we really don't have, I mean, I guess in some ministries there could be a forcefulness or a manipulation for a machine to keep the place going, amen. But I don't want to be a part of anything like that, and I don't think you all do neither. I think we would call that out if that was here, amen, that manipulatory thing. And so I really believe, like from my standpoint, for my children and all the influences on them, for the most part, it's wonderful. Amen. And it's great to have those good, godly influence. There's a lot of things we don't deal with that maybe some churches deal with. I'm so glad that I don't have to fend off the boyfriend-girlfriend thing of my children in this church. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. And I'm thankful for that. And there's so many other things. Amen. And so we need to have, you need to have, all of us need to have a line of counsel that we can go to and trust that it's not going to be to lead us down the wrong path, but just to point us to a right direction in Christ. It says this, it says in verse number 20, hear counsel and receive instruction. Be instructable. That thou mayest be wise in the latter end. Because if you get this thing wrong, especially when early in life, it'll take you down a tangent that you're going to struggle to recover from ever. Amen. And so it says, hear counsel, receive instruction. By the way, prove what you're hearing. Don't just take someone's word for it. That's why it's counselors. Amen. And hear it though. Hear it and receive it and challenge yourself. And it says, this is why there are many devices in a man's heart. Amen. You have a lot of thoughts about things. You need to prove those thoughts and be careful with those thoughts and even cast out the imaginations. All an imagination is something you imagine. We're going to cast out those imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. And we're going to bring into captivity, it says in the Bible, every thought
to the obedience of Christ. Why? Because God has your best interest in mind. And we can't say that anybody else does, you see.
And we have to understand, we have to learn this early. He says, nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord shall stand. Even in the midst of counselors. Just because a bunch of counselors say it's good, honestly, if the word of God is opposed to that, we do choose the word of God, amen? But we should better take that word of God and challenge the counselors with it and have an arrangement where you guys, where that your group can talk it out, amen? And be able to have some iron sharpened in iron, amen? Look over at Matthew 12, Matthew 12, and in verse number 25. Matthew 12, verse number 25. Love this passage. I alluded to it earlier in reference to Christ knowing our thoughts, amen? But in Matthew 12:25, it says, and Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, this is amazing, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to, what is it?
Desolation.
Every kingdom, by the way, you're a kingdom. I'm a kingdom. We rule our own realm, don't we? You could go see other kingdoms and all that, look on a national level and all that, but this is talking about an individual kingdom. You are your own kingdom in this text. It says, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And this is in reference to Jesus knowing their thoughts, knowing the thoughts of the individuals. Know this, if you are divided against yourself, you're tossed to and fro, as James talks about, with every wind of doctrine, and you're not settled, you're not sure, and one day you're this, and one day you're that, all of a sudden now this is a good idea, I'm running here, next idea, I'm conflicted. That is a kingdom divided against itself. Let me ask you a couple questions in reference to this. Amen. Do you realize that oftentimes our own very thoughts, our contrivances, our ideas, our thoughts about things, do you realize oftentimes our very thoughts are against us? Do you realize that what you're thinking right now, thinking of doing, a direction to head, do you realize that very thought can be against you? So what are you talking about? I'll just give you a couple of examples. I was just thinking and writing these down earlier. There's a whole lot more. How about this? For a married couple thinking of adultery, Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 32 tells us that for the one that commits adultery, it uses these words, that they destroy their own soul. Sounds to me like the ones committing adultery are against themselves. Does that make sense? So if I have thoughts of that, that means I'm thinking about heading that way, right? You don't just jump into that without thinking about it, right? Okay, so it's a contrivance. It's something you thought through, and then you execute that, right? But know this, if that thought exists, the Bible, the counsel of the Word, which by the way, I just read a passage that said, the counsel of the Lord, it shall stand. And if your plan is for me to be successful, God has to be wrong, that ain't going to work. Does that make sense? Because God's right all the time. So for your plan to work out, God has to be wrong. He's not going to be wrong, and you're going to be the one that wished you wouldn't have went that route. Does that make sense? Okay. And so when somebody, I'm not saying in this room, it could be anywhere. It doesn't matter. This is a principle saved or lost. Amen. Anyone that gets in their mind that the best solution for me is heading down that path, the Bible just clearly says that you're going to destroy your own soul. It says more than that too, but I just picked that one out. Amen. So if that's your thought, you are a kingdom divided against yourself. Does that make sense? I'll give you another one. Thoughts of fornication. Fornication would be a sexual sin outside of marriage, right? Rampant today, all over the place. But do you know that in 1 Corinthians 6 18, it says that if you commit fornication, you sin against your own body. That's what it says. And we're told, flee it. Flee fornication. That's what it says. And it says, if you go that route, just know this. You will be sinning against your own body. And there's a lot of things out there that only affect those that are promiscuous. I wonder why. Well, maybe because the Bible says if you do that, you are going to go against yourself in this, and you'll hurt you. So, I conceived it in my mind. I've contrived it. I've thought this is the best solution for me is to go and engage in sexual relations outside of marriage. That's my best I got, and I'm just going to go do it because, hey, I want to do it. Just know this, you can, because you're your own kingdom. But a kingdom divided against itself. It doesn't matter what you think about it. It doesn't matter what you want to happen. It doesn't matter the thoughts that you have and how well it's going to work out. God's word shall stand. Amen? If your plan is against God's word, it just ain't going to work out for you. God's word is going to always be found out to be true. Amen? Let God be true, but every man a liar. In other words, if we line up ourselves against God's word, then we're the liar. It doesn't work for us. And so that's another opportunity that if you think that's the best plan for you, you are a kingdom divided against yourself. How about an improper marriage relationship that is not what it's supposed to be? And a lot of married couples live kind of separate lives. The Bible talks about once married becoming one. Right? And there's a lot of reasons for this. One thing in reference to marriage, if you don't get this thing right, in 1 Corinthians 7:5, it actually says that you increase satanic attack in your marriage. 1 Corinthians 7:5. And if you like your spouse being attacked by Satan, go for it. We got enough problems. I don't need my wife being attacked by Satan, amen. Directly, through this avenue. So again, A lot of inside the marriage, they're infighting, all that, and finally, that's it. I'm just going to live. We're staying married, but we're separate within marriage. Rawr. Changes your countenance and everything. But it will affect you, and it will affect those around you. All I'm saying is, if that's your best plan, just know you've now become a kingdom divided against itself. And you will hurt you because you thought your contrivance was a better plan than God's word. Does that make sense? As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And that will play out. How about bitterness? I've done a YouTube 1-minute devotion yesterday, or it actually came out today on bitterness. What bitterness is. Tomorrow's YouTube one is how to be helped if you're bitter. So if you're bitter, you don't want to watch that one tomorrow, amen. Or if you just want to watch it, that's fine too. But bitterness leads to grace failing in your life. Grace failing. Say, why should I care about that? Well, grace is God's divine influence upon your life. Grace is the component that God gives us that enables us to live supernaturally in this natural world. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. How does he strengthen me? By his grace. Who's he give grace to? The humble. He resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. All right. Well, if through bitterness I cut myself off from God's grace, I am now a kingdom that can't stand. I'm divided now. Does this make sense? And that's what this is talking about. So bitterness leads to a failing of grace in your life and a defilement of self and others all around us. If that's your best plan, I mean, if you're going into life and saying, I can't stand that person, that's it. I know, I'll just get bitter at them. If that's your best contrivance, if that's as you look down the road and you say, I think that's my best shot at getting to where I want to get to, if that's where you're at, I'm just asking. You might want to check the counsel of the Lord because it's going to stand and it's definitely not that. Does that make sense? And so as I think, though, in my heart, that's what I'm going to become. And so the Bible, and I just rattled off four there. There's so many others. In Jeremiah 29:11, it says that we need thoughts of peace in our lives, not thoughts of evil, no matter what they look like on the onset. The whole thought of that verse, that I didn't read the verse, that's just kind of what the verse is talking about, but thoughts of peace and not of evil. We are to be peacemakers, peacekeepers in our lives. We are looking for problems being resolved. We are looking to calm things down. That's what peace is. Taking the turmoil and all that and calming them down with solutions found in the Word of God. That's who we are. That's who we're supposed to be as God's people. That's what God does. Jesus Christ, when he came, yes, there was already division, amen, and he showed that division for a reason. But his ultimate goal in coming was to seek and to save that which is lost and to bring peace and give us life, life more abundantly, amen. And that should be our desire as well. Flip over to 1 Corinthians 2 very quickly. 1 Corinthians 2, just a little bit more here. We'll stop for the evening. Probably pick this up again next week, maybe, amen, since we just about got through the introduction, amen. There's so much on this, it's great. Because how we think really does matter. It really, really, really matters. And I'm not just talking about how we're thinking right now about what we're having for dinner. I'm talking about more of contriving that path that we're going to walk down. That what your life is going to look like. Amen. I hope your plan for life is something like, well, I've already been born again, baptized, I'm a member of this church, and I just want to stay faithful, and I want to do what God wants me to do. I want to plug in, let God use me, and my testimony, I'm along for the ride. I'm not exactly sure what my future looks like, but I know it's safe in the hands of Jesus, amen? And I don't know what your plan is. I have no idea. But we want to be very, very careful that we don't get impatient with where we're at in life, and we start contriving these plans that ultimately lead down some of these avenues that cannot work out. Amen. 1 Corinthians 2 in verse number 4. Paul was very careful in this area. He says, my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And I bear witness here. I understand what he's saying here. I don't want to be the one. And Paul, with all the power and position that he had just by who he came to be in Christianity, he could have very easily led some people astray. And he said, I made it a point that I was not going to use enticing words of man's wisdom to get a result from the people. He says, I'm just satisfied in speaking and preaching the Word of God, and I'm going to let the Spirit of God and His power do the work. Does that make sense? But this is a thoughtful direction that he chose, and we're going to have to think that up for ourselves and be very careful in that area as well, because ultimately, we don't want people to come and make some profession of faith, so-called, just to please us. I mean, I don't want one of my children just going through some prayer just to get me off their back because I keep hounding them about salvation, right? So I want to be very careful and calculated in this area so that I don't get in the way of God in this, so that as they call upon the Lord, it's legitimate. It's them in God and not me inserting my... Do you see what I'm saying? And so Paul is saying in this regard, we're not just looking for... something we want to see. You know, we're not just trying to, even in a church scenario, we have goals and stuff, but we don't want to force that thing. We just want to watch God work. And if God's not working, that's fine. But if he is, that's fine too. But don't be the one that gets in the way because of your own thoughts and manipulates that thing where it shouldn't be manipulated. All right, lastly, look over at 1 Corinthians 16. 1 Corinthians 16, verse number 13. Remember, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. The thought there, the thinking there, is in direction. The direction you are headed. The contrivings that you've worked in your mind of how you're going to get to where you're going. Just make sure that that destination you're considering going to is of God. Because if it's not, then at least study the Bible to find out how that's going to hurt you. At least you'll know, I'm going down this path, but at least I know how it's going to affect me. That's fine. That way, when it happens, you'll at least know, yep, God was right. And maybe at that point, it'll jar you enough to actually come to God. Hallelujah. Amen. 1 Corinthians 16, verse number 13. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men. That doesn't mean that you quit. Amen. But it does mean that you'll act like a man. A man in the sense that men were typically known for. I know we're kind of losing that a little bit today, but for some, but men typically were the ones that were known to stand on principle and just do right, amen, and willing even to take a loss for that that truth, amen. So quit you like men, or be a man, be strong, let all your things be done with charity. Let all your things, and charity, that word used there, is referring to where you are going to be used to love others or help others. Let all things that you do, don't go down this other route that we talked about first off with the world, where everybody is looking to figure out how to use you and manipulate you. Instead, for you and I, let all of our things be done with charity, where we actually love people enough to not lead them astray and to be very careful in this area and to be different than what people get in the world. But just try to be a servant. Remember, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. He took upon himself the form of a servant. He made himself of no reputation. Took upon that form of a servant, became ultimately would then die that death on the cross. And so, again, he is our example in this. And just to mention this, and then we'll close in Ephesians 6, where it gives the armor of God that talks about being able to stand in the Lord and the power of his might. And he says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And he mentions a couple things. The first thing he says is girt your loins with truth. That truth, what is that? That truth is the word of God that's going to keep you from error. It's going to keep you from going down the wrong path. If you stay out of that dark alley, you might not get mugged back there. And there's a lot of dark alleys in our world, because there's a lot of people looking to hurt you and rob from you and take from you that which you're not planning to give, but you will give it when you get yourself in certain situations, because that's just how it's going to work. Do you see what I'm saying? And so you need your loins, the strength part of your body, the upper thighs, that's the strongest muscles in your body. Gird your strongest part of your body with truth. Amen? And then, of course, the breastplate of righteousness. Do right, be right by God. And then your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Be a soul winner. It really does help a conversation out when you're talking to somebody. If you start witnessing to them, it really does send that the direction of that whole conversation and relationship down a tangent towards Christ. I mean, you're not going to try to win someone to Christ while you're drinking a beer with them. It changes things. If you walk up on a situation, you try to witness whatever, talk about the Lord and all that. If there's people telling some off-color jokes and all that, that usually stops. Because you set a direction. Do you see what I'm saying? So your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. If that's your direction, that I am here as God's child, as a member of McGregor Red Church, I am here for the Great Commission. I'm trying to reach people. That sets a direction. Truth sets a direction. Righteousness sets a direction. Preaching the gospel sets a direction. Amen? And all of these, it sets a direction so that you head down that right course. Amen? And then also, even with that, it says, having on the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. That shield of faith means I am going to trust in God and his word above my own thoughts. Right? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. You see. And so those pieces of armor, you can see how they're directive in the sense of our direction And it keeps our contrivings and our own thoughts and minds, it keeps them reined in so that we don't end up going down a path that ultimately divides our kingdom and brings destruction to us. Amen? Where does it all start? Mind. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. That thinking is directional. Amen. Let God challenge your thoughts tonight. Amen. And if you've been thinking about something and you're thinking, oh, it'll be different for me, it'll all work out. Will it? Will it be different for you? I don't think so. So think through it. Let God challenge you on your thoughts. Let the Word of God be a counselor to you and other godly counselors so that you don't end up going down a path that ends up dividing you and ultimately hurting you. Amen. God, thank you, Lord, for tonight. Thank you for the time together. Lord, I thank you for this message just for me. I need this. I need this kind of preaching. I need to hear these things. I need to be challenged, Lord, in life and everything. And I thank you for that. I thank you for loving me enough, Lord, to put these things in your word and bring them forth by the Holy Spirit so that they're actually preached and brought forth so that we're not blindsided and wonder why this happened and that happened. We don't know where it all started, but God, you told us where it starts. It starts in our mind because we start thinking about it. We start thinking that it's going to be different for us. It's going to work out, that this will be good for us. But Lord, if your word says otherwise, we would be wise to choose your word over our very thoughts. So God, help us with this tonight. God, if there be someone here that's struggling in an area like this, God, and they need help, Lord, I pray tonight that they would be willing to talk through it. Find some counselors, godly counselors. If I was a part of that group, I'd count it a blessing, but somebody that they know will just point back to the scriptures they can work through things with so that they won't be that kingdom divided, but they will be a kingdom unified in Christ. Help us now, I pray with this in Jesus' name. Amen.